Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Congresswoman Elizabeth Esty, how did the first term go?
Well, Alan, first, it's great to be back on with you again.
And it's great to have you.
Always a pleasure. Great conversation. How did the first term go? Well, I'll tell you, it has gone quickly, and I am enthusiastically running for re-election because I've gotten more done than I thought I could. You know, and we've all read the newspapers and seen those Sunday talk shows, but the truth is, it is still possible to get stuff done, and I am, both here at home in Connecticut, where I've gotten actually now over $2.7 million back for folks I represent in Medicare, Social Security, Veterans Benefits, IRS refunds, so helping people problem solving and cutting through the red tape every single day. And I've actually gotten stuff done at the federal level. I have a bill signed by the president. There have only been 185 bills signed by the president. My very first bill on clean energy for Canton, Connecticut was signed into law and worked on and got signed into law the major infrastructure bill on water resources, have a STEM education bill that bipartisan one passed through with Lamar Smith, a Republican chairman of the Science Committee. So I'm getting things done. And that's what I ran to do, is to get things done and to help people.
So do people recognize your achievements?
Well, I think people are a little surprised to find anything's getting done, frankly, given the tone. But I'll tell you, there are people of goodwill on both sides of the aisle. And it shows that if you're looking to find solutions, if you're looking and listening carefully to your district and hearing what the real problems are, that it's possible to get things done. And I am finding those people on both sides of the aisle, people who are listening carefully to their own districts, finding what can we do better for the country. I really view this job as public service.
So when
it's a chance to serve and help other people. So when you talk about it that way and you make it open for everybody to be part of the fixing, that is, in its essence, that's what democracy is about. It's not just about elected leaders. It's actually about everyday citizens using the tools of democracy to help problem solve. And that's, I've benefited from that enormously, from all the input and all the thoughts and ideas from folks I represent.
So when you get on the plane on Monday or Tuesday to go down to Washington, doesn't that get to be a little oppressive after a while, having to get up and do it again and again?
Well, I'll tell you, I spend every weekend at home. I'm here most of the time. Sort of 65%, I did the calculation, 65% of 2013 I spend at home. And I'm out there every day, talking with folks, figuring out what we can do to problem solve. And then again, it is in Washington when I'm there, it's taking the ideas from folks here, taking them to Washington, taking the time to get to know my colleagues on both sides of the aisle, finding out people who want to get things done together. So I've worked with Chris Gibson on my brownfields bill. There are a lot of brownfields in Chris's district, and we worked together on my bill. He was the original co-sponsor with me, and I'm on his Lyme disease bill. And Chris Collins, who's up in the Rochester area, has obviously... they've got a lot of interest in engineering and manufacturing. That's a core issue for my district is manufacturing. I put together a manufacturing universities bill, just filed it a couple of weeks ago, to provide more support for our engineering programs, to encourage young engineering students at our best universities to go into manufacturing. Well, Chris joined me on that bill, and that'll be good for New York, it'll be good for Connecticut, and a win for America. So there are people of goodwill who are trying to get things done.
I see you were endorsed by the Hartford Courant. That's a big endorsement. Do you think that that helps, that when newspapers endorse a candidate, that it means something?
Sure. It absolutely helps. It helps because you're trying to get word out, and it's important. You know, folks don't necessarily trust what people in political life say about themselves. They're looking for regular citizens and also newspapers who are closely tracking races and are looking across the wide range of issues. I'd always rather have an endorsement. You can bet that.
Do you have to go in there and talk to them?
Yes.
And how does that
actually
go?
Not only for the endorsements, but I check in with them regularly because I think it's important that we have vigorous local press. That's part of what you do. It's part of what print journalism does, too, is to hold us accountable. Ask questions, ask tough questions, and I don't just welcome that. I think we need that. We need that. You need an educated electorate to be engaged and to be demanding that we do our jobs well.
Are they rough? Are they rough on you when you go in? I mean, it's
they're challenging. I wouldn't say they're rough, but they're doing their job. They're doing the job. You know, the fourth estate, a vigorous media needs to do its job for our democracy to work. So my college roommate works for the Boston Globe as an investigative reporter. I've got a lot of friends who are journalists, and I respect, you know, your job. And no, I can't do my job without the press doing its job. And I really mean that.
So here's my problem with you. I think you're an awfully nice person. Can you be nice and be in politics?
I sure hope so. You have to be effective. I mean, the bottom line is you need to be effective. And, you know, there are some people who figure out, I guess for some people, what's natural to them is to be a bully or to be right. The person pounding the podium. That's just never been me. I try to be true to who I am. And I have to, you know, and I'm not sure. Too nice, I would say I'm a long line of feisty women. I'm not sure everybody would. I'm not a pushover.
Well, I don't think so, but I do think that, you know, I always like to talk to you on the air because, you know, I'm not going to be putting up with somebody who's thinking negatively. I think you're a very affirmative person.
Well, thank you. That's the only way I can see doing this. I'm really passionate about the things I care about. And somebody told me, and actually someone recently told me, it was actually Mario Cuomo who may be responsible for having said that don't go into politics unless there's something you care enough about that you'd be willing to lose an election over.
Wow. And he certainly was that.
I think that's really good advice. I share that with, there are a lot of young people who volunteer on my campaign and interns in my congressional office. And I make clear to all of them, you know, don't do it to get power. Do it because there are things you passionately care about and you're trying to change. And if I thought that losing my election would pass comprehensive background checks in this country, that would be worth losing an election over to get that passed. And I really believe that. And that does fuel me every day.
Well, I've always thought that Andrew Cuomo could take his father's advice.
I'm not going there.
All right. I know you're not. Okay. Okay. I know that. So I only have 2 minutes, but do you think that the Senate goes Republican? And if it does, what does that mean?
I think too close to call. Too close to call right now. There are a lot of moving pieces at the moment. And I'll tell you, whatever happens, I'm going to still try. If I have the opportunity and honor to continue to represent Northwest Connecticut, I'll find the people to work with on both sides of the aisle over there, too. And the truth is, with the filibuster rules, it's tough to get anything done either way. You have to have bipartisan support to get anything really through the Senate. That's going to be true, whatever the result is of this election, and in the House as well. And that's why I take it as my charge not to blame the other guy for why I'm not getting something done, but be part of the fixing, not part of the blaming. So that'll be true whatever happens at the end of the election. It's still a somewhat divided country. So it's our job to work out those differences, to engage in the collaboration and consensus building that the Constitution demands us to do.
Congresswoman Elizabeth Esty, I always love talking to you, Elizabeth, and thank you so much for doing it with us. When I come back the next time, I want to talk to you about, guess what? Ebola.
Ebola, all right.